So as I said earlier on, we're continuing to look at some of the episodes through this book of Exodus as we look at journeys over the summer. And a lot of people make different journeys around the summer. Maybe it's a journey up to this part of the world for a bit of a holiday. Maybe it's a journey somewhere else. Maybe it's a journey because of what you're going through at the moment. But Exodus is basically about a journey with God. And our Sunday evenings link in with that then as people share with us their journeys. This morning, we're going to look at this chapter 12, if you would like to turn it up in the Pew Bible. I think it's on page 69 of the Pew Bible. It probably hasn't escaped your attention that Russia isn't the only place where there's a bit of excitement and a bit of competition going on. You must have noticed. It must have come to your attention in some way that there are these Brexit negotiations happening. It's a complex thing. Things that look impossible to us, how can you join these things together? How can you work that out? But the basic issue is this: what will our relationship be with the rest of Europe next year? How will we relate? So the negotiations go backwards and forwards, they go to and fro, promises are made, we look at what responsibilities people would have in this new situation, and it is complex. And so as Christian people, we should be praying for those who are involved in all these negotiations. The Bible makes it clear that we pray for those who have authority, for those who have to make difficult decisions, make decisions which will impact upon all of us. So we need to pray for those who make these decisions. There will be rules and regulations, but it's basically about that relationship. What will be the relationship between the UK and the rest of Europe? It's about relationships. Sometimes when we read through the Bible, we get caught up in rules and regulations. We get obsessed with what we can and can't do. We argue about it, we discuss it, and we get mixed up in that. But we should never, ever miss the point that essentially the Bible points to a relationship. Yes, there are rules and regulations, but those rules and regulations are part of being in a relationship. It's about God. It's about God and his relationship with his people. And yes, there are rules and regulations that go along with that. Of course there are. Every relationship that we enter into has rules and regulations. And the difficult thing is that sometimes we don't know what those rules and regulations are until we actually break them, and then we find out the hard way what they are. But every relationship will have those rules, those relationships, those boundaries, and we work within them. The same is true of our relationship with God. If we were to turn back to Genesis chapter 17, we find God there making this covenant agreement with his people, where he simply says, I will be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And as for you, so I'm going to be your God. I will be your God. The God of all creation, I will be your God. But as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. So there's this agreement, there's this covenant made between God and his people, but we have responsibilities. Responsibilities of keeping this covenant. But it is astonishing, it is amazing that this God of creation, this King of kings, this Lord of lords, actually wants to have a relationship with you and me. And that's essentially what the Bible is about. And God sets that relationship in place. He takes the first step, he takes the initiative and sets that relationship in place. So as we looked at last week, the Israelites are in Egypt. They went there initially because of famine. They were refugees heading off into Egypt, but there they prospered, there they did well. And eventually, years passed, and the Egyptian authorities, the pharaohs, started to oppress and to put down this growing population within their country. They were harsh in their treatment of the Israelites. In Exodus 2, we simply hear this. God heard their groaning. And what did they do about it? He remembered, I've made promises to my people. He remembered his covenant. He remembered this relationship with his people. Now, it wasn't that he had forgotten about it and somebody had to poke him and remind him. It simply says God knew that he had made these promises and he acted upon them. God hears their groaning, remembers his covenant, his promises to his people, and he acts to keep those promises. And so the process of Israel exiting out of Egypt begins. But Pharaoh was not for negotiating. Pharaoh and the authorities in Egypt have this nation within their own nation, and they can use them to do all the dirty work they want to do. They can force them into slavery. So why would they want to get rid of them? And so we all know the stories about the series of plagues that God sends upon Egypt to change Pharaoh's mind. And it culminates with his death of all the firstborn in Egypt. And as Hope read for us, everyone, from the Pharaoh sitting on the throne to the lowliest prison in the dungeon to even the livestock, the firstborn of everyone, died. And we simply read there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a home without someone dead. This is horrific. This really gets the nation. This really brings Pharaoh to pay attention. But the Israelites weren't affected that night. God had given instructions about the Passover. This was where the Passover started. It was a meal to be eaten, not at leisure like we would eat an evening meal and sit around and enjoy company and chat and slowly eat through our way through a meal. This was a meal to be eaten in a hurry, not relaxed, but ready to get up and leave at a moment's notice, standing with your walking stick, with your shoes on, just ready to go. The central point, the central part of this meal was the lamb, which was cooked and eaten. But some of its blood was taken and it was daubed on the doorpost and on the lintel of the front door of the house. And so we simply read Exodus chapter 12 earlier on. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I, God, see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Now, this was something new. Passover hadn't happened before. There are detailed instructions for the meal, not only what's to be included in the meal, how it's to be prepared, what do you do with the leftovers, everything is covered. There are detailed instructions for this whole meal, including this splashing of blood around the door of your house. So how would God's people respond? How would God's people react when God gives them these detailed instructions for something totally new? Would they ignore it? That's a bit bizarre. Why would we eat a meal all dressed, ready to go for a journey? Why would we splash blood around the front door of our houses? It's a bit bizarre. Would God's people ignore it? Would they do as we so often do in the church, simply say, well, we've never done that before, I'm not going to do that. And how many of us have done that? How many of us have been part of that? Never done that before. They could have. Never done this Passover thing before. I don't think we want to get involved in that. I think we'll just stick with what we know and what we're doing. They could have discussed it and debated it, but they didn't. The Bible simply says the Israelites did just what the Lord commanded. Even though it was new, even though it was different, even though it may have seemed bizarre, even though it set them so much apart from their Egyptian neighbors, they simply did what the Lord had commanded. God remembered his covenant promises, and his people remembered to be obedient. And so we simply read, the Israelites did just what the Lord commanded, and on that very day, the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt. Obedience. Obedience, and these people saw God work in ways they had never dreamt of. Can you imagine being slaves in a country that just wanted to oppress you and get the most work out of you that they could, and you think, we've been here for 430 years, this looks like it, we're going to stay here. But God says, no, hang on. This is what I want you to do. This is your part. This is your responsibility. And then I'll do my part. And God's people did just what he had commanded. So that covenant relationship works perfectly. And God rescues his people. Now, there are some parts of the Bible that are difficult to understand. There are some parts of the Bible that we struggle to apply to our own lives. What does it mean? How does that work out day to day? But most of the Bible is clear. Most of the Bible is clear, and our calling is simply to be obedient, even when it doesn't seem like the most obvious thing to do. We're called to be obedient, even when it isn't how everyone else is living and behaving, even when it doesn't reflect the priorities that other people have in their lives. We're called to be obedient, just like these folks. They daubed blood on their doorposts. Was that so that God would know where they lived? God knew where they lived. God didn't need some sort of Santa, please don't stop here sign outside this house. God knew where they were. As that blood has splashed around the doorposts, part of it is simply saying, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God. I'm being obedient to what he has called me to do. And it sets them apart. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Yes, it doesn't mean that we blindly follow everything. We can certainly discuss it and debate it and work it through. But the bottom line is this. As people who love Jesus, our responsibility is simply to be obedient to his word. Wherever that takes us, no matter how uncomfortable it may be at times, no matter how unpopular it may be at times, our calling is to be obedient to Jesus. So my question to myself this week and to each of us today is simply this. Where in your life are you being challenged to be obedient to God? And maybe it's different for all of us. What is it in your life that God's saying, that needs to change? What is it about you that God is saying, I want you to step out? I want you to take a risk, being a little bit different from everyone else. I want you to be obedient. What is it in your life that God is putting his finger on and calling you to obedience? Not out of duty, but out of love for God, out of love for Jesus. those Israelites acted obediently, did just as the Lord had commanded them. And after 430 years of living in slavery and in exile, the journey back home began. God led them out of that slavery. What does God want to lead you and me out of this morning? Our obedience is not to a sacrificial system, not to a sacrificial lamb away back in Egypt. Our obedience is to the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who shed his blood on the cross so that you and I can leave behind our slavery to sin and find freedom in him. Today, will you do just as the Lord has commanded? Let's pray together.